the opportunity to get together and to look into your word and to learn from it. And I pray that we will today, that we will hear what you have to say to us, how you want us to live our lives, how you want us to recognize your voice and your leading. I pray that you help us do so in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you want to take it away? Just talk it. No, nope, it's not on, apparently.
Well, turn
it
off.
Is it?
There it is.
There it is.
All right.
For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up for this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide you, guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what our sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desire of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustfulness, pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissension, diversions, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed their passions and desires and their other sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another, or be jealous of one another.
Let me ask you this question, first of all. I think people tend toward one side or the other. Do you tend toward legalism or license? Don't answer that, just think about it, because I don't want to know. Actually, I could probably tell you. Are you one of those people who, like, let's just disobey the law? Are you one of those people who's a stickler for the laws? You know what I mean? How fast do you drive is a good indicator. You're not one of those careful law-abiding people who drive 55 in the fast lane, are you? I think we all struggle between those two areas. You know, we don't go way into it. Like, we're not completely crazy on our legalism, on making sure that we do everything right, making sure everyone else does everything right. And we don't go all the way into license, like, you know, just running naked in the streets kind of thing. Well, I might have done that in college. But,
running bicycles is okay, though.
Yeah, apparently that's all right in Portland. But, you know, it's almost like the path to righteousness is this path right in the center of it, and it's narrow. And it's hard to get that, to stay on it. There's a tendency to swerve. And speaking of swerving, I had this problem on Friday night coming back from a gig. My car was completely loaded with musical equipment, and I got a flat. In fact, I had a major flat, a blowout. I believe I have a picture of the tire there. I think you might want to look at that. It's what you call a major blowout. So this is on Highway 217. Steven, you have something you want to share.
Yeah, that's called a rapid unscheduled disassembly.
Rapid unscheduled disassembly. That's exactly what I'm saying. So I thought I'd lift down the shoulder a little bit, but that wasn't going so well. But I managed to get off. And the bummer is my toaster was full of gear, so I had to unload everything to find the spare, which is that tiny little spare. It's about this wide. It's a donut. It's pretty crazy. But I found it, and I changed the tire, and I put everything back in. I'm kind of laughing all the time because the absolute wrong time for that to happen. Yeah. But you know how hard it is when you got a tire like this on a road to stay straight, to keep going in one direction? I think sometimes my life has been that way. I'm trying to find that narrow path, but I got a flat tire. I got a blowout. I'm going everywhere. Well, I think this book, now I want to give the context of the book of Galatians in talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to talk a lot about the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit. I think that's really important. The Holy Spirit doesn't get enough press. You know? We think of the Holy Spirit almost as if it's a force, like this cloud of something that happens, instead of a person, the third person of the Trinity. We struggle with the idea of Trinity because Trinity is the perfect community, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We struggle with that because we can't imagine three people getting along that well. Really. I mean, I have trouble enough just with one other person. I like my son, but he can be a pain in the keister at times. Right? Don't agree so quickly, Rebecca. But you're not wrong. But we have three people who are perfectly united in will, three persons in one. They're so perfectly united in will that they're distinct, but they're exactly on board. When one speaks, they speak with the authority of the others. So when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, that's God speaking to us. Galatians are strange people because most of the book of Galatians is about them battling with legalism. Legalism is that idea that you are going to, the spiritual term for legalism, the concept, is you are going to get to heaven by doing everything right. That works, right? Do everything right. Yeah, I was so close. Just that one thing.
Game over.
Yeah, the problem is, even if you get most things right, you get one thing really wrong if you're a legalist. At least one thing, and that's pride. Because then you're really proud of how good you are. And that's what people deal with. In the book of Galatians, it's talking about these Judaizers, these people who came in amongst them, and they have this whole idea that if you obey all of the laws of Moses, you win. You get to heaven. But the Galatians, to be fair, their background is one of kind of paganism. So they're involved in all these just pagan sins that just absolutely no regard for the law. But then the Judaizers came in after they became Christians and gave them the idea that if you do everything right, now just completely clean up your life and keep all the rules, play the game well, or at least try to convince yourself or others that you're playing the game right. So most of the book, it's about refuting legalism. But here we're dealing with this part that kind of talks about license. Or libertinism. That's not liberalism. And that's not libertarianism. Those are different things. But libertinism is that idea that there are no rules. Just do whatever you feel. So you can fall off the path either way. And maybe you have a tendency toward one or the other, or maybe like me, you just dabble in both, right? So, I don't know what I meant by this. This part here. We're going to take a look at the passage of Scripture if we can do that. We get away from my tire and my wheel. You know what's funny about tires, and I'm going to throw Beth under the bus for a minute because she loves that when I do that and she's not here, but I was showing her that, and I said, yeah, I had to change the tire. She goes, well, it looks like you had to change the wheel too. When you change the tire, you change the wheel. Unless you happen to have a shop right there, and you can remove the tire from the wheel, and then you've got a lift and all of that stuff. But she's never changed the tire in her life. There was one time she got a flat tire. She drove it for about 3 miles to a friend's house, and a middle-aged man replaced it because that's what middle-aged men do. So she's a wonderful, dear woman who can't change tires. So I just buy her new tires all the time. So verse 13 here. You've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. And we are free. As Christians, we are free. But, you got to not think of it like this. It doesn't mean freedom to do anything that you want, because
if you get, you know, if you really just say, I'm going to do whatever I want, sin has consequences and it has addictive qualities, right? Sin is sticky. It's sticky stuff. And Adam and Eve in the garden, when they, you know, disobeyed God and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it had long-term consequences, right? We're still dealing with those consequences. So you don't want to think of it, when you do sin, when you get entangled in sin, you're just enslaved in a different way. We are free from that slavery. We'll talk more about that in a bit. But from the moment we receive the Holy Spirit, we have a new nature. People, God, by the Holy Spirit, is present in your life if you have faith in Jesus Christ. If you have placed your faith for this life and the next in Jesus Christ, there's a part of God that's in the very core of your being. This is something that we don't think about a little bit. We don't think about it at all, hardly. We don't think about it much. It's greater than anything that defines you. When you think about yourself, you may have this, you know, you may have an accurate depiction of yourself, an accurate image of yourself. You probably don't. It's likely that people close to you have a more accurate image of yourself, but God has the best image of you. And what truly makes up you is that part that is deeply hidden in a spiritual place in your heart. You ever think about that? Are you what you wear? Are you what you eat? Not really. Are you your personality? Well, parts of it, yeah. But what you really are is a spiritual being. And God is inhabiting your spirit by His Holy Spirit. So you remove everything. You lose it all. Every part of it. God is still there. And that part of you that is the real you is sealed with the Holy Spirit and cannot be ruined, corrupted, or destroyed. If I can make one truth clear, not just today, but probably every day, it's that the Spirit of God, if you're a believer, the Spirit of God dwells in you. That's unbelievably precious. You are sealed, you are safe, you are His, you are marked, and that part of you is untouchable. It can't be wiped away. Even if you get ugly like me, you grow old, you know? You lose all your abilities. You lose your hearing. It doesn't matter. It's that Spirit of God is in you. But it's easy to get trapped and enslaved. Even when you are a believer, it's easy to get into that trap. And I love this. It says this here. Don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Doesn't that sound a little bit like, wait a minute. I'm going to quit being a slave so I can be a servant? Hold on a minute here. But that's an interesting little trick. It's a truth that I'm learning more and more as I dig into Scripture and I get to hang out with you people. You help me learn that when I serve, I really find my true self. I really find freedom in serving. Of course, it's a voluntary thing. You shouldn't be forced to serve. You know, you gotta get back there. You gotta go change Beth's tire. No, you don't have to do that, but do it voluntarily. And when you do that, you discover freedom. Verse 14. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. I'm not gonna take long on that, but that's. That's the whole law. He's talking about all of the Ten Commandments are summed up in you should love your neighbor as yourself. Have you looked at the Ten Commandments lately? Fascinating thing. The first three commandments are really towards God. I don't know what they are, so I think I've got them up here. Let's look at them. Ten Commandments. Well, they're the hillbilly Ten Commandments, but that's good.
Yeah.
Ain't but one God. Honor your mom, pa. No telling tales. They're not in order. No telling tales or gossiping. Get your hide to Sunday meeting. Ain't nothing come before the Lord. No fooling with another feller's gal. No Kellen sent for critters. quit your foul mouthing. No swiping your kinfolk stuff. And don't be hankering for it either.
So they're not in order here, but that whole ain't nothing come before the Lord, all ain't but one God, put your foul mouth, and are all directed toward God. The next seven, with the possible exception of get your hide to Sunday, or no, yeah, the remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, which is apparently what they're placing that with. But the next, at least six of them, are for your fellow, your neighbor, your community, the people around you. They're social commands. There's no killing, because that's a bad way to treat people. There's no coveting. You know? We were created for community. I'm watching this series on, I'm late to everything, but I'm into reality TV. Certain reality TV. I'm watching this series called Alone. It's on Hulu right now. And it's a story, it's reality TV about 10 people are put out in the woods to survive, away from each other, all alone, to survive. They're allowed to pick 10 things each. And it's actually in British Columbia. It's actually on Vancouver Island. And apparently there are really wild parts in Vancouver Island. Not Victoria, that's a little wild, but for different reasons. But the northern part of Vancouver Island, and it's pretty temperate, it's pretty mild, but it still gets snow and wind and rain. And the thing is, these people, some of them are really qualified to be survivalists. They're experts. One lady out there, she's from Portland, she's 45 years old, and she's got her doctorate in herbal medicine. And so she understands every herb in that whole area, how to use it, what's edible. Really brilliant. But you know what gets them every time? What causes them to leave? Loneliness. Loneliness. Some of them don't even have wives or girlfriends, but they just miss people. And after about 20 days, you see this like incredible ache in people. They just want somebody to talk to. They want to be around someone. We are created for community. And Paul says the whole law can be summed up by the command to love your neighbor as yourself. And from context, he's telling us that we've got to be led by the Holy Spirit in order to do that. Because without the Holy Spirit, it's kind of all about me. It's not about my neighbor. It's not about you folks. It's all about me. That's what we struggle with, selfishness, isn't it? Isn't that the big problem that we end up with? And it's just a sense of self-preservation, right? Because who's going to take care of me if I don't take care of me? Who's going to look out for number one?
Go to the scripture again, if you would, but if you're always biting and devouring each other, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. I sense that kind of thing was happening in the area of Galatia, in those cities. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Goes on and says, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. We inherited a sinful nature when we were born. Remember a couple weeks ago I said, you need to have a good theology of the fall. Read Genesis 3 and understand what the big problem is with me and with you. It's the fall. We disobeyed God and there was a curse that came because of that. We do not get along. There are problems between us. There's problems between us and God. We can't even treat nature right. We don't even understand ourselves. So understand the fall. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. We don't completely conquer our sinful nature on this earth. There's always a part of us that's attracted to bad and stupid stuff. Maybe that's why women love the bad boys. You know? I never really understood that, but you know, because when they know it's really going to be a heartache, but I still love the bad boy. He's got his tattoos and his Harley Davidson and he's an absolute wreck and a drunkard and a wife beater, but I love him. I'm attracted to him. I don't know what it is. My brother Joel went to the high school prom, and I don't know, I guess he was in my dad's favor. My dad let him borrow his Chevy Malibu, 72 Chevy Malibu with a 350 in it. Never let me borrow it. Let him borrow that for his, I never got to drive it once. Let him borrow it for his senior prom. Joel went to the senior prom. He made a big mistake, because he kind of partied at his prom.
And my dad later on found a box in that car. It's what's known as a stash box.
Oh.
Joel said, man, years later, Joel said, that was a box of some really good tops in there. And he was so bummed. And so my dad gave Joel a choice. And that choice was either accept the punishment, live out on your own, or go to Bible college in Montana. And that's how my brother came to Montana. He met his wife there, and that's where he lives now. It was his last chance, and he made a good one. It worked. Doesn't always work, right? It's all too common for humans to make bad choices, but without the Holy Spirit, you're a slave to those bad choices. I was thinking about this a lot because, you know, I wonder, like, do people with the Holy Spirit, do Christians still sin? Yeah, I believe they do. I mean, I know they do. I do. Right? Sorry to, you know, blow my image in front of you, but I do some really stupid things, and I do some really mean and sinful and horrible things. I do. Probably going to do a few today, so stick around. You know, it's always entertaining, right? What's that?
Take requests.
Yeah. You take requests. That's your amazing man. But Christians still make mistakes, and people who don't have the Holy Spirit, they can still do some good things too. So what's the difference? What is the difference? So I thought, is it kind of like the little devil on one shoulder, the little angel on the other shoulder? Is it kind of like that? You know, is that only true for Christians, or is that true for unbelievers? I mean, I think in a way, we all wrestle with those things internally. But as Christians, we have a secret weapon. We have something that was given to us. That's the Holy Spirit, who is not only our comforter, but he walks beside us, alongside with us. He's our guide, and he's our teacher. And we've got to learn to listen to him. So there is a little war going on inside believers, but we have a secret weapon. I do think all people have battles such as these. We try to listen to our better nature, but often we just give in to temptation and become victims of our own weakness and desires. And we have good intentions, but in the end, no bueno, you know? But we, as believers, have the Spirit of God inside us to guide. So the trick is, the thing that we want to learn is, how do we take advantage of that, if I can put it that way? How do we get in touch with that? How do we listen to the Holy Spirit? What's the secret here? And we're going to get to talk about that over the next few weeks as we talk about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all that other good stuff. We're going to talk about it because that's going to be an ongoing thing. So I want to show you where Galatia is before we go a little farther. It's the very next slide. So Galatia, just so you know, it's not a city. Galatia is a region, and this is where Paul traveled on one of his missionary journeys. I want to say his second one, maybe his first. He left out of Antioch and, you know, went around there, and it's these four cities. You may recognize it's the city in Antioch. And Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. He met Timothy in one of those cities. He got stoned in another, not like my brother got stoned, but a different time. And so he spent time in those cities. He knew those people quite well, and he's talking to them. And so that list that we have coming up of all the bad stuff, of what the works of the flesh produce, I think Paul probably witnessed those from those people. It's not meant to be an exhaustive list of all the bad things that you can do. It's just Paul saying, if you're going from just your own instincts, internal instincts, your own gut on what to do, this is what it produces. Because I've seen these in and among you. I've seen these in the people around you and among you, even as believers. So don't follow the works of the flesh. And that list is a bunch of stuff. But there's other stuff that's not in there that's still pretty bad, right? It's funny, too, because he lists basically three categories. If you look at that list of things, I'm not going to go over it much, but the first three things are about sexual sins. The next two are about false worship.
So idolatry and sorcery are false worship, and the rest of them are about our social problems, our problems with between people. That's that biting and devouring that we talked about. Problems getting along with each other. So he knew what the people struggled with. And so there's a recurring theme in the book of Galatians, and particularly in this passage. Paul is saying, get along, you little doggies. Get along. So moving on, because we're going to move quickly, we're going to be done with envy and drunkenness and wild parties for now. Anyone living like that will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that concept means, I know that all of you have done some of these things, or most of you have. Kathy's not here, right? So, but we've all done some of these things. We may even still get caught up in some of those things, right? And he says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Whoa, 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 bummer, hold on. Kind of helps to understand Greek a little bit. Anyone, but you can kind of see it here, anyone living that sort of life, there's an ongoing sense. If this is what you do, if this continues to be what you do, you're heading in the wrong direction. If this defines your character, and I think for those who don't have the Spirit of Christ in them, you got to be careful. Because you start getting in this lifestyle, you start excusing it. One of these lifestyles, or all of them, you start excusing it, then it sort of becomes a habit, and then you kind of laugh about it, and then at some point, it isn't going to be able to change. You're going to get stuck. And that happens. You and I don't get to make that decision. We can't point at somebody and say, you're hopeless. You're a hopeless reprobate. Try that on the street. You a hopeless reprobate. It's not going to go over well. And we don't get to say that. We don't get to sort the bad fish or the good fish. Right? That's God's job. That's the angels get to do that. But God himself is in charge of that. I don't know where I am. Okay. So that's important. Now let's move on to good stuff. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. In talking about this passage all week, I've been pondering this. I want those things. I don't just want to do those things. I don't want to just fool people into thinking that I'm patient and kind. I want that to be part of my character, don't you? I want people to go, there goes Dan. There goes patient Dan. There goes that lovely man, Dan. There goes Mr. Self-Control. And sometimes, I'm going to say it, I'm going to brag here, sometimes I am. But not often enough. Shaking your head, brother. Come on. I know you know me, but let's try and fool these people for a little bit. I am sometimes, some of it, not all of it, and grading on my perception of the curve, I get a couple of passing grades here. I can be good. I can. Give me a chance. But I don't want that occasionally. I don't want to just occasionally be the guy. I don't want to occasionally be that guy. And I don't want to just fool people into thinking that I'm that guy. I want to be that guy. So I want to figure out how to produce that fruit. Is there anything that I can do? Or maybe I should just chill with an iced tea and let God make it happen. Maybe the iced tea?
I like iced tea.
Yeah, I like iced tea, but there is something that we can do. And we're going to just get started on this, and I'm going to have to quit, but that's okay, right? So there are four different words for how we interact with the Holy Spirit used in this passage. There are four different words. Did you catch them? It's a little bit easier to catch if you have the ESV or the King James or you read Greek. It's a little bit easier, right? And those words are walk. This translation says let guide. Let the Holy Spirit guide. That's in verse 16. Let the Holy Spirit guide you, and you will not walk in the Holy Spirit, and you will not succumb to the passions of the flesh. That's in verse 16. Then it's be led by the Holy Spirit, or be directed by in the NLT.
And that's a passive voice, says be directed by. But it's not being carried by, you're being directed by.
You're letting you're being led by. And then live by,
and that's actually a first class conditional clause for you grammar Nazis out there. First class conditional clause is assuming that the argument is true. If you live by the Holy Spirit, it says then what? Follow the Holy Spirit's leading in the NLT, that's verse 26.5. Or keep in step with the Holy Spirit. So four things that we do to interact with the Holy Spirit. Walk with Him, be led by Him, we live by Him, and we keep in step with Him. How do we do all of this at the same time? Well, they actually fit together nicely, if you think about it. So Beth and I sometimes take walks at night, and what really cheeses me off is when she is walking in front of me and I feel like I'm being dragged. Does that happen to anybody else? Like, I don't want to go that, there you go. I don't want to go that fast. Apparently you're in a hurry to get somewhere. Can we walk at the same pace? Of course, I'm not as nice when I'm dragging her. It's like, keep up, lady, keep up. But usually it's the other way around. And usually because she has something on her mind, right? And she's amped, and here she goes, right? You do that, Brian, I can tell that. And you need to stop that, knock it off. Stacy's having a hard time keeping up here. But we're supposed to walk with the Holy Spirit, and we're supposed to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Well, what does that mean? We go back to the whole idea of we have the Holy Spirit in us, and He's our guide. And we can listen to Him, and we need to walk along with Him. And we're going to talk about this more in the next few days, or the next few weeks, I guess. But it's that idea of being in tune what the Holy Spirit wants. People, the first place to start is to just ask. We forget to ask. Holy Spirit, guide me today. Show me how to walk with You. If you haven't done that, just ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, to lead you. And then when you know what the Holy Spirit wants you to do, keep in step. That whole idea comes from the idea of marching. You know, have you ever seen a marching band? I was in a marching band, and you got to keep in step. If you get out of step, you're tripping over everyone else. You look like a doof. I fell over marching because I fell out of step, and I tripped on a person, and it was in the mud, and I was marching with a tuba. That was ugly, I want to assure you. So you want to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. So the first part is just ask. Guide me, because you know Jesus says, I will give the Holy Spirit freely to anyone who asks. And of course He wants you to know. He wants you to know what He wants you to know His will. So that's what we're trying to do here. All these concepts and word pictures are compatible. It starts with live by. When I talked earlier about the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, that's our life. That's what defines us. It doesn't take away your personality. It doesn't take away who you are. It refines who you are. It purifies who you are. The Holy Spirit purifies who you are. And you live by the Holy Spirit. That is the Zoe, the eternal life that God gives you as His seal. So we do live by the Holy Spirit. Anyone who's placed faith in Him, it is the deepest, truest, most real part of you. In fact, the Holy Spirit has quickened your spirit, has given you life when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. There's no law against these things. Talking to Mary about that and saying, well, what does that mean? Well, you know, I don't think you're going to get arrested for being loving. I don't think you're going to get arrested for being patient. I mean, there's certainly no human law against these things. To have these characteristics, you're going to be in good favor with man and with God. And here's the painful part. And here's your little lesson and your little scolding, I guess. No, just the tough part. When it says, go on to the next slide, please. Yeah. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. It's painful. There is a part of this when you ask the Holy Spirit what to do and it sounds painful, it may be because it might be. You ever experienced anything like that where you had to give up something that cost you because you knew the Lord wanted you to, and it felt like death? Sometimes that happens. I hate to say it. You're putting something inside of you to death. But that's what we're called to do. There's no good way to sell it. We're crucifying something so that the inner beautiful part that God put there can thrive and live and be fruitful. So you can experience love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that will be not only a gift to you, but it will be a gift to everyone around you. Zach, you want to ask some questions? Zach's taking the question.